The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
All right, you can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning. Proverbs chapter 2. We've been having a great time studying through the book of Proverbs this summer so far, and this is our fourth sermon in the series as we continue through the summer months. And this will actually be a two-part sermon, so part one this week and part two next week, Lord willing. As I was studying this, there's a lot in this chapter to chew on, and I wanted to break it up. So we won't finish the outline that you have in front of you. We'll finish it next week, so if you want to bring it back next week, or we'll have a new outline for you as well, you can do that. But recapping where we've been, we learn that these proverbs can be very beneficial to you, but you have to have the proper foundation in order to understand them. You have to know the fear of the Lord. It's the ABCs of knowledge. And Solomon told us to hold on to godly teaching, and he said disregard ungodly temptation. And then last week we heard Lady Wisdom as she called out to us in order that we would listen and that we would avoid harsh consequences that may come from not listening to wisdom but choosing our own path. So really, last week's text was focused more on the perspective of Lady Wisdom, how she is calling out. But as we go in here into chapter 2, we see it from now the perspective of the prospective disciple and what they must do in response to Lady Wisdom calling out. And so it shows you this search for wisdom from that perspective. And they must call out. They must desire wisdom. And that's what it truly looks like to listen to wisdom and respond. So 2 years ago this month, a new game that is used on mobile devices was released, and it was called Pokemon Go. Has anybody heard about this game? All right, some may have heard about it, and it took the world by storm, at least for a while. By the end of 2016, the game was downloaded more than 500 million times. And the game uses your phone's camera and GPS to help you search for these animated creatures. So you walk around with your phone and you're looking at the real world, but then all of a sudden this animated creature will appear on your phone. And you try to catch the creature, and you go to different various spots, different locations to find them. I think I even heard someone was saying, telling me, I don't know, remember who it was, but that somewhere at our church or near our church is a poke stop. Where they can collect items. But the game actually caused some issues as well. So car accidents spiked, injuries spiked, deaths spiked, as players would have their heads down and their phone as they're just walking around in fields in different areas. One Arizona couple left their two-year-old at home to go play the game. Two men had to be rescued after they fell off of a 90-foot cliff because they were playing. One lady climbed a tree and got stuck in the tree because of the app. Another man got lost in the woods. But what these incidents show us is that the key to Pokemon Go is the search. So these people were obviously searching for these Pokemon, and they ended up in a dangerous situation or bad situation. And so you seek out these creatures in order to capture them, and the reward is that you capture more. So there are rewards for seeking, as you need to catch them all. And as we reflect upon our passage for this morning, we also see that there are rewards for seeking, not seeking after Pokemon, but seeking after wisdom and the need to search for wisdom. And we see that this must involve dedication. So you must dedicate yourself to gaining wisdom. Dedicate yourself to gaining wisdom. We see that in verses 1 through 4. So let's read that. Proverbs 2, 1 through 4. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. So if you really want something, you're going to be dedicated to finding it. So you can't really be lackadaisical when you're searching for something because you're not going to find what you're looking for. I remember many times in my life growing up when I was younger as a child, one of my parents would tell me to go and find a certain item. They would say, maybe go and find this item in this certain room. And so I would go. So I'd go in the room where it was. I would look around. But the problem was, and I don't know if anyone else has done this or their kids have done this, is you go and look, but you just stand there. And you look around. And I wouldn't bend over. I wouldn't move anything. I would just say, I can't find it. And the issue was, I wasn't dedicated to finding it. I was just kind of like, I don't really want to do this, so I'm just going to, half-heartedly go and try to find this item. I was apathetic. You see, if I was really earnest, if I was really committed to finding that item, I would have moved stuff around. I would have maybe bent over, laid on the ground, looking for where it could be. I would have searched for it diligently. Because that's what true dedicated seeking, true dedicated searching looks like. It involves effort, right? I had to take some effort to bend down and move things. It takes some persistence where I'm not going to give up until I find that item. It takes commitment where I really need to and I really want to find it. It's kind of like that mindset of I'm going to find this thing if it's the last thing I do. And that's what it means to be dedicated to something. And so we see in verses 1 to 2 what this dedication looks like. And so we see that we must first store up wisdom. In order to gain wisdom, Solomon says that we must receive his words. We must treasure up or store up his commandments. And as we think about this point, it's important to realize that as we think about Solomon and he's talking right now, and he's saying, receive my words and treasure up my commandments, we could say that that is the equivalent of saying, receive and treasure up God's word. Because Solomon is writing these proverbs under the inspiration of the Spirit. And so we need to receive and store up God's word in order to find out what we find in the text. Did you ever search for something, but you didn't know where to start? I know I've felt that at times where it's like, I don't even know where to start. It's just so vast. But that's not how the search for wisdom works. Solomon shows us where to start to find wisdom. You see, the search for wisdom isn't this unguided search. It's guided by the revelation of God. It's guided by God's word. So God's word is a place where we do the searching. Yet how often do we search in other places to find wisdom? Solomon is showing us this is where the hunt takes place. This is where the exploration should be taking place. If a good, experienced friend of yours told you this specific place to go hunting where you would he would give the best place to find a deer, wouldn't you go there? If you really wanted to find a deer, you'd be like, I'm going to try that. I'm going to go there. And the author gives us the exact place where wisdom is found. And it's in His Word. It's in the Scriptures. But notice that these ideas, they have a condition in place. He says, if you do these things, then essentially you can gain wisdom. And so like I said before, wisdom just doesn't come automatically to us. It doesn't just plop in your lap all at once. It's not how wisdom works. You can't just sit back and think, I'm going to gain all the wisdom in the world without, you know, doing anything. You need to be proactive. You need to want wisdom. You need to want wisdom bad. But also see that those who want it truly will find it truly. It's not elusive to the seeker. It's hidden from the non-seeker. As we saw last week, wisdom is already calling out in the public square, in the public places. Wisdom is at every, you know, all the places that you'll go, calling out, wanting you to hear. Instead, we don't listen many times. But Solomon says, receive his words. You can't neglect them. You can't ignore them and wonder why you don't have wisdom. Instead, we receive and store them up. The idea is kind of like, let's say if you're a coin collector and you had this coin collection and we keep receiving more and more coins and you store them up. Maybe you have a special place where you keep your coin collection, a storage room or a certain place in your bedroom. And that's what we do with God's Word, is that we receive more and more of God's Word and place it in our hearts and store it up in our lives, in the storehouse of our hearts, where we are continually receiving and storing it up. And verse 2 really shows us, how do we do this receiving and storing up? By making our ears attentive to wisdom, inclining our hearts to understanding. So when you think about that coin collection, in order to receive more and store up more, you always need to be attentive to when coins are talked about, right? You need to be searching for them. You need to be hearing when coins are talked about. Inclined to think about coins if you want to get more. And so when it comes to wisdom, we need to be attentive when it's spoken about. We need to be inclined to think about wisdom. So kind of like a good student in a classroom where our ears are always ready to hear. They're always ready to learn. I'm always ready to listen to what the teacher is saying. That's the picture here. Our ears are perked up. Our hearts are inclined to hear God's word. So I'm willing, I'm prepared to understand God's word, to understand true wisdom. But are these your attitudes? Is this your mindset of being attentive and receptive and willing to be shaped and molded and to receive God's word whenever possible? So whenever God's word is taught or preached, I'm ready to receive it. Store it up? Or do you think you already know everything and you're not that way? When God's word is spoken, are you attentive? Are you inclined to hear it? Or is your mind shut off? Is your mind going in all different places? Are you going through the motions? Are you not really listening? Do you take advantage of all the times that there are to hear the Bible spoken, to hear the Bible preached? In order to grow, we need to store up God's word by being attentive and inclined to hear it. It only makes sense, you know, if a person isn't willing to be attentive and inclined, they're not going to grow, right? Because they don't really care. And so you're not going to be growing in wisdom. You're going to be growing in your knowledge of God's word if you're not attentive, you're not willing to learn. A person not attentive and prepared to get wisdom isn't going to get it. When you store up a collection of something in your house, it means it shows, I want this thing. I desire this thing. I desire more coins. I want more coins. It's something I want to keep. Is that the role that God's word plays in your heart? Is it something that you truly want? Is it something that you truly want to keep in your life, in your life, and to store up? I think about a lot of us, we store up needless facts, needless movie quotes, but we can't store up God's word in our hearts. So that's the first part of dedication, is what you need to store it up. But also we see in verse 3, we need to call for wisdom. So if you think about last week, we saw wisdom personified as a woman, and she is calling out for all to hear. Well, today we see that the person who desires wisdom needs to likewise call out for wisdom. So like Lady Wisdom, we need to raise our voice, but we raise it for insight and understanding. And the picture here is really of a desperate intensity where I'm calling out, kind of like the calling out for the attention of another person. I'm calling loudly. So if you're far away from someone and you want to get their attention right away, you call out for them. I know this happens at our house sometimes. So Kate will be upstairs, I'll be downstairs, and she'll call my name, right? She'll say, Matt. And then we've noticed with Silas, my two-year-old, that he's learned that trick. He'll stand at the step of the stairs and say, Matt. You know, I don't even get the daddy or anything. It's just Matt. No, he's just learning and mimicking, but calling out. That's what it should look like for us to desire wisdom. Now, you may not literally call out, hey, wisdom, you know, I want you. But it's the idea of your mindset is that way. It's like I'm thinking that way where I desperately, intensely want wisdom. So what I want it so bad, I'm calling out for it. I'm raising my voice just to get it. It's like I want insight. I want to understand God. I want to know God. I want to know how I should live in this world. I want that. Do you want to receive God's word that bad that you would call out for it? Are we people like that? People who desperately, intensely want to know God. I want to know more from God's word because I see the value in it. So we must call out, but we also see that we must search for wisdom in verse 4. Verse 4 shows us that we must seek for wisdom like silver, search for it like hidden treasures. So searching for these things, so the hidden treasures of silver, it involves diligence, it involves eagerness. Think about a treasure hunter who is dedicated and committed to finding treasure. I think of stories, many stories where people look for the hidden treasure, you know, the X marks the spot, and they risk everything. They risk, you know, they sacrifice their comfort, possibly their lives, obviously their time to find it. And that's the point here, is that seeking after hidden treasures is demanding. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your effort, your energy, your focus. You could risk some things in life when you're seeking after treasure. You could risk your life, your safety, your reputation, your time. So if seeking after treasure is so, so demanding, so, so risky, why do we still hear about people who seek after treasure? Because of the value in it. Because they know it's worth it. It's rewarding. Because when you find that treasure, it's worth it. It's worth all of the risk, all the demands. And that's how the pursuit of wisdom works. It's demanding, but it's rewarding. You see, seeking after wisdom is going to be like that treasure hunt. It's going to take your time. It's going to take your energy. It's going to take your effort, your focus. You could risk your reputation among other people as they think, man, that guy's crazy. You know, why does he love God's word so much? You know, why didn't he just love some of the things I love? You risk your time as it isn't spent on some other earthly things, but it's focused on heavenly things. But it's like silver, it's like treasure, it's valuable, and it's worth every single risk. But the thing about wisdom, the thing about the search for wisdom, is that it's going to pay off in the end. See, if a pirate, you know, looking for treasure finally came upon that hidden treasure, they would say at the end, it was worth it. It was worth all that time, all that sacrifice. Do you pursue wisdom like something extremely valuable? Could someone look at our lives and say, wow, he's a wisdom hunter. Wow, he is a God's truth hunter. Where he's just always like, I want to know what God has to say about this. Could that be said of our lives? You see, a real treasure hunter is never satisfied until they come upon the real treasure. So any kind of fake treasure, any kind of distraction is put aside for that goal of finding, I want to find the real treasure. So are you never satisfied until you have gained God's wisdom on a matter? Are you never content until you have come upon God's truth and what he has to say? Now, many times we rely on our past experience or past knowledge about a topic. But what if each of us wasn't pleased until we found the answer in God's word? We found, yeah, God has to say this about this topic. And as we contemplate these ways to dedicate ourselves to gaining wisdom, we understand that each of these things demand a strong desire. They have to. So I must desire wisdom so much that I'm going to store it up. I'm going to call out for wisdom. I'm going to search for it like treasure. So you must desire wisdom if you expect to grow in wisdom. So this isn't just some shallow desire. This is a strong, relentless desire. And really, this strong desire for wisdom is going to show itself in my effort. It's going to show itself in my persistence, in my commitment to finding it. And really, all it shows is dedication. I'm dedicated to it. So wisdom calls out to you, but you must be dedicated to getting it. Now, obviously, God works in our hearts. Spirit works in our hearts to grow us. And like we saw, Lady Wisdom does her part, right? She's calling out. But this is focused on our part, what we need to do as well. So do you think that you're going to grow a lot in your Christian walk if the extent of your faith is 1 hour on a Sunday morning? To grow a lot, you need fervent dedication. Where it's like, I'm going to come to church whenever possible. I'm going to serve in any way I can. I'm going to spend meaningful time with people outside of church. I'm going to be studying the scriptures on my own at home as well. That's commitment. That's really dedication. It's not just a check off the list where it's like, oh, I did my 1 hour, you know, on a Sunday morning. I'm done. That's the extent of my faith. That's not dedication. You put more time into your hobbies than that in a week. So what are you truly dedicated to? Think about a lot of us, you know, we get up at 5 a.m. to go hunting. We get up at 5 a.m. to go shopping on Black Friday, but we can't spend extra time in His Word. And it's like, where are our priorities? Where are my priorities? So I'm definitely preaching to myself right now as well. But the truth is that you're going to sacrifice and you're going to commit to what matters to you most. Does God's wisdom really matter to you? Does God's word really matter to you in your life? Or is it just something that you do? Is it just something that you have always done? But do you really see the value in it? Do you really see that this is treasure? I must call out for it. I must search for it. I must store it up in my life. And next we see the rewards. We see that dedication leads to understanding how to relate to God. We see that in verses 5 through 8. And I'll read that this morning. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints. So if you look at verses 1 through 4, we saw the author say, if, three times. And now he finally says, then. So if you do this, if you do that, then, so if those conditions are met, then the results will come. So if you dedicate yourself to the pursuit of wisdom, then you will understand how to relate correctly to God. So remember Proverbs 1:7, the kind of like the main theme or main foundation of the whole book, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, here again, we see those two ideas linked together. The dedicated quest for wisdom will provide you with a proper understanding of what it means to fear the Lord. And in doing so, you're going to find knowledge. Knowledge of how I relate to God. Knowledge of how the world works. How I should live in the world. So a correct and proper understanding of how to relate to God must start with that dedication, must start with that passion to find out more about it. Think about, you know, if you really want to be good at math, you need to have a passion for it. If you have no passion for it, you're not going to want to learn everything about it. It's like with any, you know, hobby or anything, if you want to learn more, you have to be passionate about it. Now, I'm passionate about the Green Bay Packers. I know I'm in Steeler land, but that's my team. And so I want to learn more about the Packers and everything that goes on there. If you couldn't care less, then you wouldn't learn all that you should. So how does this dedication lead to knowing how to relate to God? We see because of in verse 6, God will give wisdom to you. So what we see is that the reason why diligent seeking for wisdom truly works is because all true wisdom comes from God. His mouth provides knowledge and understanding. So since you're striving after wisdom through the right path of God's word, you can be assured you will find wisdom because you're going straight to the source. He wants to give us wisdom, as we find in James, when we pursue it, when we ask for it. He says, make your ears attentive to wisdom, because I give wisdom to those who are attentive. He says, you can find knowledge of me, because from my mouth comes knowledge. He says, incline your heart and raise your voice for understanding, because understanding comes from me. And he not only gives wisdom, but he stores up wisdom. Did you notice how I kind of paused at that? Because the same phrase, stores up, in verse 7, is the same used in verse 1. It's actually the same word. And so the point is, we are called to store up wisdom, for God stores up wisdom for us. So let's say you were storing up, you know, cans of soup in your basement, and there's only one business that sold cans of soup. And the great thing about this business was that they never ran out of cans of soup. You could always go back and get more, no matter how many you bought. You could go back confidently because they always had cans of soup. And that's what God is for us in regard to wisdom, is that we keep storing up wisdom, and we can keep coming back to him because he never runs out of wisdom. He's a storehouse that was like, I can keep storing up, and he never runs out. And the storage of wisdom is given to, it says, to the upright, really the righteous person, the person who loves God, who loves wisdom. And so he gives us wisdom. So that's why it works. It works also because he stores up wisdom, so he never runs out of wisdom. And we also see he will be a shield for us as well. So what's better than a shield in battle? And when you go into war, into a battle, you know you have this strong defense. It's like, I can protect myself, some of the most important parts of my body, from any attacks because I have this shield. Well, God is our shield. He's a shield to those who live a life of integrity. And those who live in a life of integrity are obviously those who believe in God, those who love wisdom, love God, because they're living out wisdom in their lives. So how is he a shield? Verse 8, he guards and watches. He guards our path. He watches our way. He keeps our way. And this points to the fact that God watches and guards over our course of life, over our conduct of life from the influence of evil when we're pursuing wisdom, where he helps us stay on that right path and not stray from it. So evil's going to try to bring us down that path, as we found about temptation, how they try to lure you in. But God guards and watches over our paths. So when we're seeking after wisdom, and that's where the if came in, if we're seeking after wisdom, then God's going to give us wisdom, he's storing up wisdom, and he's going to guard our life because we're seeking after wisdom. Because, you know, we want wisdom so bad that we're not going to want to go down the wrong path. Because that's not where true wisdom is found. So we find that he's a good and loving father because he wants to give us good things. He wants to keep us from evil. And what a blessing to know that we have that kind of God. See, being dedicated to wisdom helps us know how to relate to God. We'll know more and more how we ought to view God, how we ought to approach God, how we ought to have that awe for God, that healthy fear for God. So how does this pursuit bring knowledge? Because he's the ultimate giver of wisdom. He possesses the storehouse of wisdom, and he is the shield that we need. And so we can be assured that we are gaining reliable, and as we saw in the text, sound wisdom, effective wisdom, is because who it's coming from. The ultimate giver and guarder. The Holy God. You see, there are rewards for seeking after wisdom. It's kind of like a treasure hunt that rewards its finder. So wisdom rewards its finder. You know, wisdom isn't going to miraculously all appear in your heart at once. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort in your life. It takes some storing up of God's word. It takes some calling out for wisdom. It takes some searching, diligent searching. But it pays off in growing our relationship with God. And it's going to be worth it. And it's going to pay off because we're going to the treasure trove of wisdom, God. And that's all we need. I want to read Colossians 2, 1 through 3 for you this morning. I just want you to focus on the words or ideas that we learned today. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the fullness of riches of foreassurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ, you can find the salvation for your soul. In him, you can find that hidden treasure that you're searching for. In him, you can know what it truly means to fear the Lord. In him, you can find the knowledge of God. Store up his words. Call out to him. Seek him. For he gives wisdom. He stores it up for you, and He is your shield. So are you willing to do some seeking? Are you willing to do some searching? Then look no further than Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are, Jesus is the wisdom from God. And that we can search for wisdom, we can call out for wisdom, we can store up Your word by going through Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us to be diligent and dedicated to Your word, because it truly does pay off in helping us know how to relate to You.